everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our episode 115, 4.5 billion smackers. And we're coming to you from Western Pennsylvania this July 8th, 2021. Hope you enjoy the 4th, and it's a belated happy birthday, USA. I'm sure you guessed that a $4.5 billion investment, as I said, smackers, has to be a reference to Resorts World Las Vegas. And, you know, what a story history getting to this point where it opened on June 24th. And I'll give you the details of that. And, you know, I've watched also with Jamie, my partner, my wife, hours and hours of YouTube videos from, you know, many people that you enjoy and I enjoy, but boy, some of them really went south on it. But first of all, 20,000 people showed up. But I guess you'd have to say that if you're going to have free champagne and food samples galore up and down the casino and the nearby restaurants and food courts, you're going to expect a lot of people, but I don't think 20,000 people. Of course, they separated the plebes from the patricians because they had a VIP party too, but that wasn't a small affair either. Well, let's talk a little bit about what a $4.5 billion investment means in the northern end of the strip. And of course, if you're trying to picture, if you're not that familiar with the Las Vegas Strip, think of the Wynn Encore, and you're talking basically across the street or adjacent to, nearby, beside Circus on the same side of the street. My goodness. And it's interesting that the Wynn Corporation actually stewed to stop the construction of Resorts World because they maintained that it was too much like their place. You know, it was too imitation. I don't know the law, but, you know, they actually had a lawsuit, and that delayed the opening, of course, and that was all resolved. And they accused this Malaysian gaming company, Gentry, of trying to mislead visitors into believing that somehow the Resorts World was affiliated with the Wynn Encore properties. So somehow it all got cleared up. There was probably money involved, right? But $4.5 billion. And I would think in the end, I mean, you know, I'm here, but I would think that the spillover to the Wynn Encore would be massive in terms of price, in terms of offering. At least if people aren't going to stay at the Wynn Encore, but I think they will once they see the room price Sports World. But even if they didn't, I'm sure they'll make their way there. I've gambled at the Wynn Encore many, many times. And there's always $15 tables available. And someone whose newsletter I respect, the Wizard of Odds, ODDS, did a real nice job, you know, giving a personal opinion and evaluation of Resorts World, and also saying that he would like to gamble there, but he probably won't because the table limits are so high. And there's, I think, 161 table games, but there's only 1,400 slot machines. You know, the Meadows Casino, you know, near the Pittsburgh airport that I go to, has 3,000 slot machines. The Rivers Casino in downtown Pittsburgh, beside the stadiums, I shouldn't say downtown Pittsburgh, beside the stadiums, it has 3,000 slot machines. I mean, so you can see that this mega resort, you know, $4.5 billion, I say, you know, some say 4.35. I'm rounding it up to 4.5. Yeah, 1,400 slot machines. So they anticipate, according to their news releases, that only 25% of their revenues will come from gambling. You know, so it's sort of a different thing. But the Wizard of Oz says he probably won't gamble there because the table minimums are too high. So if you wanted to stay at the Resorts World just to enjoy 15 acres of pools, you know, 9 pools and an affinity pool, and then if you wanted to stay there because of such a variety of restaurants, particularly if you lean Asian, you know, you can find things there that you just can't find on an ordinary night on the town, you know. So I'm not suggesting for a moment that people aren't going to go there, but I'm suggesting that it's very likely they won't gamble there. And I will say people will spill over to Circus, you know, for very inexpensive gambling and for freshness and a new casino and much lower table limits than the Wynn Encore even is the Strat. You know, it's right down the street. I mean, we're at the northern end of the Strip with Resorts World. So, you know, and Golden Entertainment has fixed up the area surrounding the Strat. You know, it's you won't recognize it. So they put $40 million into it, which is quite different than $4.5 billion. But nonetheless, they're going to be beneficiaries too. The northern end of the Strip is hip. That's what you could say. I mean, it's going to be a different gig. And so, you know, let's talk about a few things here. Specifically, in the build-up to opening day, you know, people look back and said, well, hey, why the Hilton? You know, why is this the towers here associated with the Hilton? Well, the Genting company, it's the gaming company that's involved, G-E-N-T-I-N-G, it's called the Genting Group. They actually were looking for hotel corporations that knew what they were doing, and the Hilton came on late in this process. They weren't there all along, but they have three hotels in these 59-story towers. The Las Vegas Hilton at Resorts World has 1,774 rooms. The Conrad Las Vegas at Resorts World has 1,496 rooms, and most of those rooms are suites. And then finally, the Crockford's Las Vegas, C-R-O-C-K-F-O-R-D-S, with 236 very, very upscale rooms and suites. So if gambling is not really the entire focus, there's all kinds of other features. This mega property includes the District, and that's a 70,000 square foot retail center spread across two floors. And there's a variety of retailers, and that some of these you can't find in most towns in America. So there are going to be people that come there for the shopping. There's more than 40 restaurants and bars in Resorts World, and these are going to be draws too. You know, fine dining, and also at the food court level, you know, 16 different kind of options like street foods. And these are not things you can get, you know, at Arby's or McDonald's or Burger King. You know, these are things that you have to be at a place like Resorts World to find them. And so, you know, it's just, there's so many things that, you know, I just don't focus on the gambling. There's just so many things that are going to draw people. 5,000 seat entertainment venue. And of course, there are some, you know, mega stars already signed up. You know, it doesn't make sense to me to list them here, but, you know, it's going to be nonstop. There's always going to be someone there that, you know, most Americans would want to hear. And there's also, you know, a nightclub that is out of Singapore, and it's the first type of this nightclub in America. So, I'm assuming the younger crowd, man, they'll be jamming that place. So, you know, there's just, again, there's something for everybody. And I think it's bringing new life to the northern end of the Strip, and I think it's going to be very satisfying. And, you know, again, it makes casinos more competitive. Like, just don't live on your laurels. Like, what are you doing to entertain us? We have a lot of choices when we go to Las Vegas. And what are you doing to draw us to your casino resort? When I looked at the room prices, you know, again, I have no history as with Resorts World or the Genting Group. So, you know, I'm sure once you start to gamble, these room prices will come down, you know, based on your level of play. So why wouldn't they? They do everywhere else, you know. So, and then there's all kind of new technology, even for ordering food. Resorts World, I'm not in a rush to stay there, but I am definitely going to visit there and see it for myself in September when we're in Las Vegas. There's no doubt about that. I think I have to say there's some things to talk about with the criticisms on Resorts World, and the criticisms would be that, you know, to have breakfast there, probably you're going to spend $50, you know. So you certainly get a full American-style breakfast at other places. But, you know, there's that famous line by Admiral Vanderbilt, you know, and somebody asked him, geez, how much does that boat cost, you know, the yacht that he's on? And he said, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. And it's, truthfully, that's Resorts World. I mean, things are going to be very expensive. You know, if you stay there three nights, you know, you can have several thousand dollars involved you know, in your food and in your shopping and your rooms. And it's a several thousand dollar a night. It can easily be a $1,000 a night gig, but even if you go to the basic rooms at the Las Vegas Hilton, the lowest level, you know, you could be definitely spending, with resort fees and taxes, close to $300 a night. And I'm not talking about weekends. And, you know, I, until you build a relationship gaming-wise, you're going to be paying top dollar. And if you want to go suite-wise, you can, into the next step up with the three Hiltons, then you could be easily spending $1,000 a night. And if you want to go into one of those 236 high-end rooms, you know, then you don't even ask the cost, because that's just how it works. That's capitalism. So, you know, again, if you have to ask and be concerned about the price of, you know, breakfast here or lunch there or dinner there, don't go to Resorts World. It's one of those places where, you know, the monetary things, it's not, should be concerned. You know, people were writing, you're vlogging on YouTube, you know, that it's a ripoff, it's this, it's that. Don't go there, you know. This is an Asian-themed mega resort owned by a Malaysia gambling company, and it's going to be a new kind of experience, and, you know, you pay for those kind of things. It's as simple as that. If you want the same old, you do what I do, you know. You spend a day on Fremont Street, you go to places that you enjoy, you know, your M Life, Caesars Entertainment type of people. But there's another option now, you know. When I wanted to go high end, you know, I'd go through the Bellagio or, you know, the Italian restaurant there, or go to Wynn Encore. But now I got another choice. When I want to go high end in whatever way, I got Resorts World at the northern end of the strip. So that's how I feel about it. And I think it's just the greatest thing for Las Vegas. And obviously, it's going to employ thousands of people. Thousands. You know, we're talking probably 6,000 people. And that's not a bad thing for any city. Okay, we're going to take a short break and come back for 3-2-1 Craps. And we're going to talk about issues with playing craps the right way. Yeah, you can play the most sound way mathematically and face issues that when you first think about it, you'll be unaware of. So I'll be right back with my message on playing craps the right way could be the wrong way for you. Hang on, we'll be coming back.
3-2-1
And as per usual, our 3-2-1 countdown refers to our 3-2-1 system of craps for playing craps from the pass line for the low roller, really spread about the country and around the world by Color Up. That's done by Jeremy Ellerick, and I think the version is 215,000 plays and such after a year and a half, so that's pretty good for a craps video. But we're not talking about 3-2-1 craps today. We're talking about what normally people will call smart craps and best way to play craps, the most mathematically sound way to play craps if you are a pass line player. And, you know, you make the minimum pass line bet. So if it's a $10 table, it's $10. If it's a $15 table, it's $15. And if a point is established on the come out roll, in other words, you could win on a 7-11, not at 1-1, or you could lose on a craps number, 2-3-12. But if a point number is rolled on that come out roll at 4, the 5, the 68, the 9, or the 10, then you take full odds or as much odds as you can. And you do that two or three more times by betting in the come. So you put the minimum pass line amount that you would put on the pass line into the come. And $10 table, it's $10. And it travels to a number, possibly, if a 7-11 or 2-3-12 is enrolled. And you put, again, the most odds you can, maybe full odds if you can afford it. And you do that another time and then another time. So you have four numbers operating. One is the game winner, the one on the pass line, right, that number that was established. And the other ones are just going to pay you 1-1 on the come bet minimum, but then they're going to pay you the true odds. And that's why, of course, it's fair and honest to say that the odds behind the pass line or odds on combats when they get to numbers are the best bets in the casino, because the casino is paying you the right amount. They're true odds. It doesn't mean that you have an advantage over the casino. It means that you're even up with the casino. That's the point. And the truth of it is, they have a little advantage still, because they require that you put the minimum amount on the come or the minimum amount on the pass line to make the true odds bet behind the pass line. Oh, my. But, okay, so what's gonna ruin your day? You know, what am I talking about? What are the things that I don't know about that are going to happen, you know? Well, the most obvious one is, so you don't bring in your come bets by rolling that number again. Remember, you have to, with playing true odds, you have to roll the same number twice to win. So you have a amount on the pass line, and you roll a six. Well, you have to roll a six again to win, right? You have $10 in the come, and then you roll a four. That goes to the four. Well, you have to roll a four again to win, you know? So if you roll a seven, you lose your pass line bet, you lose your come bets, and you lose the odds that go with it. That's the most devastating thing that can happen. Because if they come early and you don't bring those come bets back home again, you know, because you put so much money into the odds bet, because it is the best bet in the casino, all of a sudden, you know, you're biting dust. And it's sad. But the pain isn't over yet. Oh, no. It's a new game. The puck is to the side on either side of the table. It's black, and we're going to go to the come-out roll. And yours truly is playing today. And I'm going to put $15 on the pass line and $6 on three-way craps, because I'm really playing the front part of the equation in craps. I'm playing that come-out roll. If I get a 7, I'll lose the bet on the three-way craps, that $6 bet, but I'll still win $9, right? Because I have a $15 bet on the pass line. And it's my hope that I roll a 12 or a deuce, and, you know, all of a sudden I have a $56 win, and I can press it up, and if it comes up again, and I try to get that sequence going. So I'm not as concerned as the true bettors are about that pass line bet, you know, going to a number, establishing a point. I'm more concerned about my three-way craps bet, you know. And I'm covered, because if I lose, it's a one-roll bet, obviously. And if a point's established, then I got to win the point to get that money back. But I'm going to be placing numbers. I'm not going to be playing the come most days. But here's what you have to worry about. You're at the table with me, and I told you if I throw that 7 on the come out, then, hey, you were playing, I made my first number, and you have $30, and then you have three come bets out there, and then you have odds on top of them, and that's, you know, more than $30, obviously. And I throw a 7, and I'm happy because I won $9. And any place bets I have up there from the earlier rolls where I made the number, they're not harmed by that. But yours are. Not your odds bet, but the come bets. So you lose 30 smacks, bang. See, on the next come out roll, if you have come bets on the table and the shooter rolls a 7, you lose those. You lose those. And you think, but if you're playing at a $25 table, it can add up very quickly. You know, you lose $75, and then, you know, you do the same kind of thing. You play the come, you get combats, you have odds on them, and then the shooter makes the point, and now we're into the second game, and $25 in combats still alive out there, and boom, there's a 7, and everybody's happy but you, because you lost $75. They're going to return the odds bet to you. You know, here's your odds money, because you didn't say my odds are working. Now, if you wanted to, you could say my odds are working. So I just wanted to give you a couple of things to think about. Obviously, I do play smart craps sometimes, but only when I'm way ahead and the table's red hot. I don't go, you know, I just don't think you can go to, a $10, $15 table with $300 and play smart craps. Because if a couple early sevens, you know, you're chewing gum and staying around watching the game. So that's why I said I want to get to it as the table warms up, even though mathematically the way I'm playing is not as sound. In the reality way of thinking, the short term doesn't affect the long term in my mind. So I play the short term in craps. You know, so I'm going to go 15-6 on the come out. 85% of the times I play craps, I'm doing that. Even if it's a $5 table, I'm going to go $15 on the pass line, $6 on three-way craps. And then if a point's established, I'm going to place a 6 and 8 if one of them are not the point number and go from there, you know. And if I get a hit, I'll probably press them up equally. And maybe then after the first roll, I feel safe, I'll place the 5, and then I can go with the Iron Cross, or, you know, I can also take my winnings and place the 9 and just play the inside numbers, you know. So I'd rather do it that way than play smart craps, even though mathematically in the long, long run, you'd win more playing smart craps, but I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose my stake. And I don't want to take $1,000 every time I go to a craps table. You know, I just don't want to do it. And of course, I've seen people take $1,000 and the table's ice cold and they keep playing those combats with full odds, and all of a sudden, they're down. You know, just take 100 times odds. People say, oh, it's so great, it's so great. So, okay, so you have a 5 and a 6 and an 8 as combats, and it was a $25 table, so, you know, you have $75, but you put 100 times odds on each one of them, and you get a 7, baby, without bringing us home. Holy smoke, you better have $4,000 to come. You know, so, I've gone to those casinos where there's 100 times odds, and you look at the odds on those combats, and you have $500 or $600, you know, on those combats, and you're thinking, what the hell, man? You know, early 7, and then a lot of times people just do it to say they did it, and I hope they win, you know, but if they don't, it's a big ouch, 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 you know, and maybe you're out. So it's something to think about. As we close out here, I want to just take a short break and play a little music real quick. You know, in these final thoughts, let's go back to that resorts world and talk about one of the bars. You know, it's the Great Gatsby Bar. I got a question for you, friends. How many young people go in to that bar and have no idea who F. Scott Fitzgerald was, or Jay Gatsby, the character from the novel, The Great Gatsby? They have no idea, you know, because the idea that I'm referring to is cultural literacy. You know, at one time, colleges, universities, and even high schools taught cultural literacy. You know, they read things that every generation read, you know. And suddenly it's not, oh, those writers are racist, they're from a different time, I'm not going to bring them up. But I just wonder how this Malaysian gaming company, thinking there, hey, they're putting an American novel title and, you know, character, the Great Gatsby, and having a great bar, and it looks great. Just think how many people really know. Well, we always do, and you will, but just ask that question. How many people sitting in this bar know what the Great Gatsby is named after, know who F. Scott Fitzgerald was? And, you know, that's an appropriate name in some ways, because Jay Gatsby, the character, he thought wealth was mysterious. It wasn't about white privilege. The book diminishes wealth privilege, and certainly wealth privilege exists in America today with people of all races, all colors, all creeds. You know, if you're wealthy in America, I mean wealthy, not just well off, you're wealthy, then you have a ton of privileges. So it's kind of interesting that Resorts World, with the Malaysian gaming company, understands that they're creating an environment that, you know, wealth is served. You know, wealth is what they want. Wealth is what they want to attract. And it's obvious. You know, I told you, if you go there, don't fuss about having to pay $50 for two people eating breakfast. That's just how the place works. You know, they're going to provide this and that in terms of services and experiences. It's not about the gambling, but they do have high limit gambling as well. But they only expect 25% of their revenues to come from gambling. But it's the wealthy spending big money in a variety of ways at that resort. It's wealth privilege. And yeah, there is such a thing. And every once in a while, you might say, well, I'm going to live that way. And you put it on your credit card, right? You don't live that way for long, you know, where you don't have to pay attention to what things cost. But values-wise, it's America. You know, in many ways, we become one. And the cultures of the world who come here, they unite and we become Americans. And we embrace, you know, the American values. And one of those values is, you know, I have a chance to become wealthy in America. And while I'm working at that, I'm going to enjoy Casinos USA podcast, that special place where every day is Saturday.